Reading from Romans chapter 10, verses 1 to 15. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and they sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses writes about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them, but the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is within your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is within your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. May God richly bless the reading of his word this morning. Let's pray. Oh Lord, would you open our minds and hearts this morning, so that we would hear from you. Thank you for the Apostle Paul. Thank you for the words that you gave him, that you now give us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I was going to start off a little bit before I got into my message and share a lot of good stories about my sister, who's a captive audience right now. She can't leave. Guard the back door, please. I will share one story that's real quick. Otherwise, if you need to know anything, you can talk to her about anything you need to know about me. When we were younger, I enjoyed, my parents would take off and they'd say, Mark, and I was a teenager, and my sister was 6 years younger, and they'd say, no parties, Mark, while we were gone, okay? And as soon as they would leave, I would call some friends over. Now, these are not the parties you think of. I had all good Christian friends, okay? So this was, you know, chips and drinks and, you know, good drinks, you know, healthy drinks, right? Coke. And I'd call them over to come over, and my sister would always go, remember what Mom and Dad said, right, Cindy? Do you remember that? No parties. And what did I say? Do you remember what I would say? It's not a party. It was just having friends over. So we didn't call it a party. And so I'd invite all these friends over, and we live in a mobile home, kind of small, and I make a mess in there a little bit. And as soon as they left, I say to my sister, you better clean the place before Mom and Dad comes home. Okay. Now you know why she has a hard time with me. And she's done a great job of cleaning the parsonage today, so I'll just let you know. Though I got to talk to Dean. I have some aunt issues, so I'll talk to you about that later. You know, this scripture verse in Romans, there's some very familiar verses. Maybe you've heard them before. Verse 9 in chapter 10, it says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How many have heard that verse? Maybe many times over and over, right? What about this? Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what? Will be saved. And then in verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We're going to look at this text, and I mentioned I want to honor our time here, so I'm not going to go long. But we're going to divide it into three different sections, okay? The first section is verses 1 to 4, and here's what I've titled this section if you ever take notes or think about it. It's called Paul's Desire and Prayer for the Israelites to be Saved. So verses 1 to 4, Paul's Desire and Prayer for the Israelites to be Saved. Now listen to those words. Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for the Israelites that they may be saved." Now, we got to go back to chapter 9. Do you remember that was a few weeks ago. I preached Romans 9, how we talked about the Israelites, they didn't believe, right? Their hearts were hard and they couldn't believe that Jesus was really the Messiah. But Paul had a heart's desire for his people. And that heart's desire led to what? It led to prayer. Prayer for the unsaved, for his people. And I am so glad. Where's Ellen? She left. Okay. But she had seen this cross thing from her daughter in Florida and said, we need to get this in our church. And so I really want to encourage us. We all know, right, people who are maybe used to follow the Lord and aren't following anymore, those that don't know Jesus, maybe it's family or friends. For Paul, his heart's desire and prayer was for the people of Israel, that they would be saved. I remember my mom growing up prayed for many years. Her heart's desire was that her parents would be saved. And she was one of 12. She was one of 12 and the oldest daughter. And when she came to know the Lord and my father, it changed their whole lives. It affected when they used to visit my grandparents. They would always say, "Oh, you're too good for us now." And they were very harsh sometimes. And my mother had I didn't know this for years later, that she was abused by her father growing up. But she would pray. I remember we'd get in the car as kids, we'd be grabbing to my grandparents, and she would just say, "Oh Lord, let's pray that mom and dad, my parents, would be open to hear the gospel message somehow." And I didn't even know that what she had gone through in her life. I didn't find out that for years later. But she had this heart's desire for the unsaved. And that was Paul's heart's desire, and his desire translated into prayer. Paul says, "I testify of this about them. They're zealous for God. They have a lot of zeal, but their zeal is not based on knowledge." Zeal is a good thing, right? Jesus, remember, he displayed zeal when he cleared the temple. I mean, he was doing something righteous, and he cleared the temple. There was zeal. It's good to be zealous for something you believe in. We had a young guy that my dad led to the Lord at work. His name was Jerry Gillette. And Jerry had just on fire for the Lord. He had all this zeal. He was a new Christian, but he didn't have the knowledge. Not just, when I'm not talking head knowledge, he didn't have the knowledge of how to live the Christian life. And sometimes he would be, we loved his zeal. He was not afraid to be bold for the gospel. But sometimes he would come across and say things that maybe would sometimes turn people off. And we'd have to say, "Jerry," and my dad would come alongside him and try to, we talked about discipleship and mentoring in Sunday school this morning, and he would try to help him in that way. Paul's saying, they're zealous for God, but they don't have the knowledge. And here's the knowledge. It says, verse 3, they didn't know the righteousness of God. They didn't know that they could be righteous through Jesus. That when Jesus died, he died for them and for, so that their righteousness could be seen in Jesus. So what did they do, most of the Israelites? It said, they sought to establish their own righteousness. I can be good enough on my own. And they tried to obey all the laws, and they
they obeyed them to a T, but you know what they found out?
That you couldn't do it. You can't obey all the laws. The law is good. The law leads us to knowing that we need Christ, that we need something else.
Paul says they didn't submit to God's righteousness. And then he ends with this. He says this, Christ, in the word accumulation, in other words, he is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. What Jesus did was he fulfilled the law. With the coming of Christ, the goal towards which the law was pointing had been reached. The law had always been pointing towards the Messiah, pointing towards Jesus. Now, the law still reflects God's standard of how we should live life, but it shows one thing. It shows that we need a Savior. It shows that we cannot do it on our own. And then the second section is verses 5 to 13. This is where Paul talks about righteousness for everyone who believes. He begins with Moses. Moses writes about the righteousness that is by the law. People knew that they needed to live it. If you wanted to obey the law, you should live it. Paul says the person who does these things will live by them. You want to know righteousness by the law, you've got to live the law. But again, it's impossible to live out all the laws. That's why they had the Old Testament sacrificial system, because people would mess up. And they'd have the need of a sacrifice for their sins. Paul says, but the righteousness that is by faith is what we need. He says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend in heaven, or that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Paul's trying to explain that our goal is to believe. We can't bring Christ up from the grave or down from the grave, but he's got to be, and he says, in our heart, right? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. The obedience of the law is no longer the basis for our relationship with God. Did you hear that? The obedience of the law is no longer the basis for our relationship with God. Now, we still need the law. We still need to obey the commands. We need to be in that way. But that way doesn't save us. The law doesn't save us. It's only through Jesus we have a relationship. It's only through what? God's righteousness that is gained by faith. So Paul says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Has anybody ever asked you, how can I be saved? How can I know Jesus? Paul's saying right there, you need to declare it from your mouth. Jesus is Lord. We got to be bold enough to say that out loud. Let's practice it right now together, right? Jesus is Lord. Let's try one more time and maybe somebody can hear us down the hall or down the road. Ready? Together. Jesus is Lord. You know what was happening? The Romans had Caesar, and they would say, Caesar is Lord. That's what was going on in the culture of that day. And Christians were going against that and saying, no, Jesus is Lord. And I'm going to confess it with my mouth. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. You know, Gabriel reminded me of this earlier this week. As people say, well, you know, you may be the only Bible someone reads, so you got to live your life out so they can hear the Bible. Well, people need to see how we live our lives out, but you know what else they need? They need the words, too. They got to hear the message that has to be proclaimed. Verse 12, for there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. It's the same Lord. And that Lord richly blesses all who call on him. And it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Paul's expressing it to the Jewish church. He's saying all will be saved. Even those Gentiles will be saved. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. No matter what they look like. No matter how many piercings they have in their body and their face and how many tattoos they have and how long their hair is. And whatever. All will be saved if they what? Call on the name of the Lord. And then Paul challenges us in verses 14 to 15, the third section. The challenge is this: who will bring the good news to others? Listen to those words. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? Right? How can somebody call on Jesus if they've never heard about Jesus? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? How can they hear without somebody preaching to them? You ever heard that? Don't preach to me, right? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of the good. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The vehicle of the gospel is through proclaiming, proclamation. And first of all, Paul says this calling first requires faith. You got to have faith. And then this faith requires hearing. And the hearing requires preaching. And the preaching requires sending. Now you may say to me, Pastor Mark, I can't do that. I can't preach to anybody. I find it hard to share the gospel. Now I do believe that God has called certain people as evangelists, right? To bring the good news. Billy Graham, oh, if you go into my office in the parsonage, you'll find I have many Billy Graham books. He was my idol, Billy Graham was. I remember as a kid, 11, 12 years old, listening to the Crusades, and he preached a simple gospel, but the message, didn't he? And then just as I am, remember the altar calls? And people would just walk down. And in my heart, even as a 12-year-old man, I was always walking down. I heard the message. I wanted to be saved. So there are people, maybe people have gifted, or you're gifted with evangelism. Pete told me this morning that one of his gifts is evangelism. That is great. Not all of us are gifted in that area, but we need to somehow proclaim the gospel with words. I don't know what that means and how you do it in your life, but it's a challenge. Paul says they have to hear. And then Paul says, how beautiful. Listen, I love this. How beautiful are those who bring good news? Good news. How beautiful are the feet of those? Wow. Imagine what comes to me, my mind, is missionaries. As they travel out, right? The feet, as they're traveling on certain terrain and just going out to people and to some people bringing the message who have never heard the gospel. And I'm so glad that we as a church are a mission-minded church, that we have missions that we support, we pray for. But you know what? We have a mission in our own backyard, don't we? We do. I think God has, I've been showing my sister the church, and I said, this church has been over 185 years, and I was showing her the Bible over there and the case and all, and I said, This church has been in this community for 185 years. God placed us here for a reason, right? Amen. And we need to proclaim, and that reason is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe we're doing it. Slowly but surely, we're doing it as a church. I'm excited about what is happening and what's going to happen. We've talked in the vision team that we're going to do two things in the next 2 years. We're going to implement more opportunities for prayer, because you need a praying church, and we're going to be a church that disciples, that walks along each other and encourages each other in the walk. And then after that, we want to be a church of service, and we want to be a church of outreach, outreaching into our community. So let me encourage you, wherever God has placed you, whatever community you live in Peru, LaSalle, wherever you live, that you would be this
the feet, the beautiful feet who bring the good news. Somebody needs to hear the good news today. Amen. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing our last hymn. And during the singing of our last hymn, I am going to go down, and we haven't done this because I haven't been around for the last couple of communion Sundays. I have my anointing oil with me from Israel this morning. And if you feel like you need a special anointing, maybe you want to be anointed to be the one who brings the good news of the gospel. Or maybe you need anointing for something in your own life or for somebody else. So as I come down, just raise your hand. I'm just going to anoint you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so let's proclaim that good news that we have. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the words of the Apostle Paul. Oh, for the desire that he had for his people. And Lord, would you give us that desire for those that we need to reach out to, for the unsaved, as we nail the names of people's names to the cross here in the church? Would we really pray for them and desire that they would know Jesus? Oh, Lord, thank you that our righteousness is not through the law, but it is through knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then, God, give us the opportunity, as Paul mentioned, to go out to those that can hear. May we be the ones that are sent as a church. May we be a church whose feet are beautiful as we bring good news and hope to our community. Oh, Lord, thank you for those blessings. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. As you leave this morning, may you be those beautiful feet that are going forth and bringing the word to others. Go forth in peace this morning. Amen.